guys, especially guys like, you know, myself with a podcast. I'm not a comedian.
Just talking with Sam.
You always helping out the young guys.
Yeah.
What is the, and I like asking this question, what's the best piece of advice someone has given you that you could pass on to the next generation? Because there's a lot of young comics listening right now.
It may sound cliche, but just stay focused and don't give up. You know, don't give up after you had a bad night. Ask every athlete or entertainer on this planet. He'll say he had a bad night and he wanted to quit.
Mm-hmm.
The day you quit is the day something big could have happened for you.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Up.
I never gave up whether I had a bad day, a bad set, whatever it was. I mean, I just kept grinding because obviously you got to keep the Lord in your life. You know, stay prayed up. Stay focused, and if you're truly talented, come on, man, the cream will always rise to the top.
Okay. Now, like I said, pushing for time, we speed rounding. This
Let's
is my internal weirdness. I always give one of these Oprah.
I'm telling you, that should be the name of your show. My internal weirdness.
Feel free to take it. This is my my Oprah Super Soul Sunday moment.
Uh-huh.
I ask this question. There's no wrong answer. If you had to... You stuck in the vortex. You at the crossroads. You meeting Uncle Charles. Life and death situation.
Charles who?
Like the song. Meet me at the crossroads. You standing next to Uncle Charles.
Charles,
y'all. Anything wrong?
Yeah.
That's Cleveland. We ain't talking. But my point is.
You're gonna let everybody. You're gonna miss everybody.
Okay. All right. But my point
I'm
is.
I'm a hip hop head.
Oh yeah. That's what I said. If we had more time, we could just jump into. But if you Oprah Super Soul Sunday question, no wrong answers.
Yeah.
If you could meet your great 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 grandparents or your great 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 grandkids, who would you choose? Oh, I told you, we go deep. Internal weirdness. Look at.
Oh, that's crazy.
There's no wrong answer. If you don't know, you don't know.
I want to say great 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 kids.
And why?
Why? Because that means I lived that long to meet them and be there for them.
All right.
You know, because I'm a new dad.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I have a 1 year old.
You are reading my
notes. I have a 2 year old daughter, and I have a 1 month old son. And my whole thing is to stay in shape and be here for them to as long as I can. Because I see, you know, unfortunately, so many of us young black men, African Americans, that are not in our children's lives. And I'm trying to lead by example to let them know, hey man, is anybody out there listening right now? If you're a deadbeat, kick rocks or get in their life.
That's what's up.
Because they need you. You know what I mean? And if that's you telling on yourself, if you feel like you ain't shit and you can't offer them, then hey, there's nothing I can do about that. But I'm one of them dudes that my parents were in my life and I'm going to be there in my children's life, my daughter, my son. And I only brought this up because you said if I could meet my great great great,
if you could go back,
like
either way,
80 years old. And me, because you said my great great grandkids, you said
right.
Oh, my great great
grandparents.
Like, don't get me wrong, it would have been dope to meet them and see what life was like in the 30s, in the 40s. But obviously, I can't go
you
back.
Can't.
But I can try to be here for the,
I'm with
for
that.
The future.
And with medical science, you can
generation.
Live to be about 200. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You
so,
know what I mean?
Oh, and feel free to use that. Feel free to just when you walk past somebody, just ask
hypnotics or whatever it's
just,
called. Yeah.
Just ask them one of those questions when they just got to sit down. Like, goddamn.
Right.
Yeah, man. But look, we have about that time. I want to
have any more questions.
I have a ton, but I'm being respectful
let's
to your time.
Let's look at the time right now.
I'm being
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So let's do 10 more minutes.
Let's do 10. All right. Nah. When we talked about like helping the young guys out, one thing I always make sure I say, because there's a lot of young podcasters listening, and in your case, comedians, you're young in whatever field you're in. Just put it, whatever. If you're listening, you're trying to get started.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I like to do is talk about a time when we wasn't that great, not to poke fun, like a bombing story. Like,
oh, yeah, that's real easy.
Yeah, yeah.
I got
just
one.
Just
I
so
got one.
They got one,
oh, they
and they
understand.
Know.
Oh, yeah, they
you
need
gonna
to understand
fail.
That. No, you don't. First of all.
You gonna mess up.
You don't
up.
Get famous overnight.
All right.
That goes back to what I was telling you a minute ago. You're gonna fail. You know, find me somebody that has not experienced some type of failure or some type of hard times before they became great. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. Okay, Floyd Mayweather was 49-0, whatever. Okay, but he's had his ups and downs still. Period. You know what I mean? You can't go off somebody that's absolutely never lost because that's a freak of nature, does it? But everybody's lost. Before or had a bad night or bombed. Like, if you're a comedian, understand you're going to go up there and the jokes aren't going to be funny every single night. That's why we have workout spots.
Yeah.
So that's why we have open mics. That's why we have hole in the walls to try out those jokes. Mm-hmm. People don't realize before you saw those jokes on HBO, on Showtime, and on specials, and we had to work that out.
Yeah.
That's like saying a pro football player that you see him on Sunday, game day, but you don't see that the 5 days a week that he was in the gym working out to get that strength.
That's what's up.
Right?
Yep.
So as far as stand-up comedy, oh, yeah, man, I got stories. But the most memorable one, I'd probably only been doing comedy a year, year and a half.
Okay.
And I did this amateur competition in Long Beach, California, this place called Birdland West. I'm going to try to give you the long story short. It was a Crip neighborhood.
Okay. So
what color do Crips wear?
Blue.
Okay, Crips wear blue. I had just went to Jungle Fever. Had just dropped the movie, mm-hmm. Jungle Fever, 1991.
Wesley Snipes. Doing stand-up. Okay.
And at the Jungle Fever premiere, they were giving out hats that said Fever. And
okay.
I was like, oh, cool. I got to meet Spike Lee that night. You know, I only been doing comedy 6 months to a year.
You're feeling pretty
and
good.
I was feeling good about myself. I got a little red. It was a red Jungle Fever hat. I went to this amateur competition the next night, and I had on a polo rugby. I don't know if you remember polo rugby shorts.
I remember.
Real clean. Bought it from Macy's. Cost about $50. It was red and white stripes, and it could match my red Jungle Fever hat.
You look good.
I'm thinking I look cool. I have some tan khakis. I'm dressed like a white boy.
Okay.
Like an Ivy League looking nigga, right?
Oh, like Carlton.
Yeah, like Carlton.
Callback.
Absolutely. I had to, like, maybe some white chucks on or something. Just
okay.
Looking regular, right? Amateur night.
That preppy
Long
look.
Beach, Birdland West. D.L. Hughley is the host.
Okay.
Okay. I go up there. D.L. had seen me a couple of times as an amateur. He's like, yeah, you real funny. Oh, by the way, it's $1,000 prize to win the amateur competition.
All the more incentive for you to get there.
I go on stage. Just so you know, Birdland West was a long comedy club. It was a real deep club. Like, it felt like it took 5 minutes to walk from the back of the club to the stage. Amateur night. He goes, this next guy coming to the stage, he's real funny because he had seen me a couple times as an amateur. I didn't have no credits.
Got it.
Give it up for Alex Thomas. I come on stage, and these two Crips were sitting in the front row with their feet on the stage, like literally that close, just with their feet on the stage, right? I get up stage, and dude lifts up his shirt, and he has a nickel-plated Glock. And he just looks at me. Remember, he's front row. His
front
feet
row.
Are on the stage. He goes, we going to kill you, cuz. Why you got all that dead on, cuz? Nigga, when I tell you, I don't know if you've ever had a gun pulled on you or if you've ever been afraid
in your
life.
A few times.
Nigga, I was so scared that, have you heard of, like, you're so scared that your knees shake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nigga, it looked like I was doing the funky chicken up on that.
Oh, moment. My like, goodness.
My knees started shaking. I was so scared. First thing going through my mind is, like, why the fuck did they let a nigga with a gun in the club? Why is this happening? This is all that's going through my head, right?
Yeah.
So he said, we're going to kill you because I'm so scared that I can't even say anything. My words couldn't come out. And in about 5 seconds later, just imagine 300 people booing the fuck out of me. I'm talking violent boos. Like, fuck you. We hate you. Who the fuck are you? Get the fuck off your stage. Now, you know I haven't even said hello yet, right?
Yeah, no.
I haven't said hi. I haven't even told a joke.
DL just said you're the funniest guy.
Yeah, you're funny. Nigga, I did not say a word before they started booing me, right? So I can't sit here and go, oh, my joke didn't work. No, nigga, I didn't even say.
You didn't even talk.
I didn't even say hi, right? And at that time, they would either boo you or jingle their keys. So, nigga, imagine.
That's worse than booing.
Nigga, these niggas wanted me dead. You can tell these black folks can be some vicious motherfuckers. They're booing me, and they're jingling their keys. And out of nowhere, do you remember what color pants I told you I had on?
Khaki.
I told you I had some tan khakis on.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, everybody started laughing. In the, right after the boo, it's thunderous laughter. And I'm like, why the fuck is everybody laughing? How about I peed on myself?
Oh, God.
In front of 300 people. Oh, I'm terrified. The dude has a gun in the front row. They're booing me. And I started peeing on myself. So I guess they thought that was my joke.
Oh.
Maybe they thought I'm the pee-pee dude. I don't know. Whatever. But I never said a word, dude. They started laughing. DL came back on stage like, what the fuck happened? I've seen you before. Like, you're funny and da 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 da. I whispered in his ear. I was like, the nigga has a gun.
Oh my God.
Like, who got a gun? I was like, the dude in the front row. What? Which one? I'm like, no, nigga. Yeah. They might shoot you too. He's like, man, DL didn't give a fuck. They knew who he was.
Yeah.
He's like, and he sat there and bagged on him for 10, 15 minutes. I got off stage. Nigga, I ran to my car. When I tell you, I ran to my car, and in a black club, if you bomb, nobody wants to say anything to you. Nope. The security weren't trying to look at me, nothing. I ran to my car. Looked like I jumped in a pool with my clothes on. That's how much I peed.
Oh, my God.
How about I came back a year later and wore a pink button-down polo and won that bitch the following year?
Okay, well, yeah.
$1,000. Yeah, I came back and got that money.
It wasn't red. You learned your lesson.
But I learned my lesson, and I got that money in a pink polo.
And that's how you do it, man.
That was my horror. But I don't even want to call it bombing because they didn't give me a chance.
Yeah.
I didn't even tell a joke. Nigga had a gun in the front row.
My man, if you could come back from that, like, you were the PP guy for at least a week, and I'm being generous.
A nigga just peed on stage in front of us.
Yeah.
But no one knew my name, so it was cool because no one
it doesn't
knew who
matter.
The fuck I was.
Like, we
you
were
know?
Talking about, at the start of this podcast, we were talking about you're the guy from
TV. Yeah.
You were the PP guy. That was your name. No one was trying to get down with Alex Thomas. You were the pee-pee guy.
Absolutely.
And you.
But like you said, if you can come back from
if
that.
If you can come back from that.
Most people, come on, dude. You think they would have continued doing stand-up?
Nah.
You think they would have said, fuck this business?
You're the pee-pee
Why
guy.
Why am I doing this?
I am forever known as the pee-pee guy.
The pee-pee guy, yeah. Yeah, man. I didn't go back to that spot for a year later and won the amateur competition the next year.
Oh, my God.